This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 27th of January, 2022, and it is a Culture Thursday, people. We're going to chop it up. You heard that song by Exuma, Exuma Reincarnation. Well, today we're playing some Exuma songs while I have a conversation with a Bahamian that I know we haven't spoken to or heard from in a long time, and I'm glad to have a conversation with her today. But before we get into that conversation, let's look at what's in the news. There's just tons of stuff in the news, right? And so I didn't even know all of the things that were going to be in the news this morning, despite the fact that I follow the BIS WhatsApp feed, and I follow the Bahamas WhatsApp feed. So I was coming up Shirley Street this morning, and I had the misfortune of encountering an ATV. That's one of those all-terrain vehicles. It was a rental, and it had two tourists on the back of it, and they were trying to push their way in front of us on the road. And I thought, okay, you know what, they're tourists. But then I realized, look, these guys have on no helmet. They have on no safety equipment. They wasn't using their turn signal. Nothing. I thought to myself, who would let tourists get on Bahamian roads, Nassau, New Providence, Nassau City roads, without any helmets or safety equipment, or even a brief briefing on how things could go if you throw your scooter, your oversized scooter, in front of somebody. And then when I finally picked up a paper this morning, I had the misfortune of reading in today's Tribune a story. Motorcyclist dies in crash. A motorcyclist is dead after a collision on Tuesday night on Prince Charles Drive and Beatrice. It's almost as if y'all don't take this operating motor vehicles thing seriously, nor do we take the enforcement of traffic controls seriously. It's just an increase every week, more and more traffic accidents, and the severity of the accidents have increased. And on top of that, we now have the element of road rage by those who are breaking the traffic controls and don't understand why you would bring it to their attention. But I'm a mind reader, and I know that if you're going to ignore that stop sign or that red light, you're going to ignore that summons from the court. You're going to ignore that call from your insurance company. I am somewhat of a mind reader. But there's more. There's more to talk about. There's more to talk about. In today's Guardian at the top of the fold, $31 million needed for baseball stadium. Now listen, I know we're going to talk a bit, touch on that, touch on it tomorrow. The headline continues, more than $27.44 million already spent on project. I say, turn it into a parking stadium and then just continue to park us. Because that is what must be going cheapest. Y'all let me run the petty shop today. Also, I want to say thank you to FOAM, Families of All Murder Victims in the Revolutionary Black Panther Party, for their sort of free meal giveaway event yesterday afternoon at the FOAM Community Center. FOAM is doing good work. So I want to encourage us to support them and do some good work. There have been a couple of weather notices. They're predicting a severe cold front this weekend. So I want to challenge us. Here's what I think we should do, or we could do. I'm going to do one of these today. First thing we could do is we could get a bag. And if you have one or any amount of these items, put them in. Sleeping bag, a blanket, a jacket, a tam, that's like a nice warm hat, and socks in a bag for someone who may be sleeping rough. That's when you're unhoused, you may be couch surfing, you may be staying with your grammy, but it ain't enough room inside, so you sleep in a little wash house. You may be sleeping in the car in your cousin's yard. Right? Big man them let women sleep in the house, they find somewhere else to sleep. If you know someone who is sleeping rough, we see some of these guys on the road, put a bag together and give it to them. If you cannot, if you don't have the resources or you don't have the time, let's figure out if we could pull $5 or $10 together. $5 or $10, let's go to Salvation Army or the Humane Society thrift store or Great Commission or a church near you or a social services office. Or FOAM, Family of All Murder Village, or an urban renewal center, or even to your nearest police station. Let's make sure that maybe the resources are available. Make sure the resources are available for those who are prepared and organized to help people. I can't imagine if the weather reports are correct and the weather going to jump to something like the 50s. And that ain't even the wind chill yet. Listen, the vast majority of our homes are not heated. We don't have the heating option. And if you live with your parents and your parents is old people children, they done turned the heating switch off on the central air. In fact, when they ordered the central air, they tell the boy, don't get the heating element that'll reduce the price, right? Yeah, we don't need that. We live in the Bahamas. So no, it gets cold in the winter. And the vast majority of people are not prepared for it. So if you do have the means or the resources, let's reach out and help somebody this weekend. Because we're going to need the help. Listen, I want to say I didn't see the story in the paper today, but I think I heard word that we had a tragic fire in Andrus recently, and I want to say condolences to those who would have lost their property and to those who would have lost their lives in this fire in Mastic Point, North Andrus. If we can gather resources to send to North Andrus for the victims of that fire, that would be great. At the same time, it just stick a pin for me. We forget about Family Island people. The people in the Northern Islands going to be even more affected by the cold than us. We look at a place like Abaco and Grand and more, where people are still living in domes. If your house made with cement block is not sufficiently insulated to handle the cold. How about our brothers and sisters who will be living in domes? Technically, the government won't call that sleeping rough, but that's what that is. We hope the best for you. Dear Mr. Michael Pintard, the banks are fleecing Bahamians. That's what he said. Not me. That's what he said in the Guardian this morning. And I was about to write a lovely note. And then I read the article. And the leader of the opposition is saying that the government will sit with the opposition to determine a way forward. I just wanted to read his statement. But before I say that, let me just say, what Pintard is saying is that the government and the opposition need to sit together to devise a strategy to help Bahamians better navigate the banking system that they, maybe in their dereliction, I add in this part here, maybe in their dereliction of duty have allowed to become, come to a point that it's just untenuous now. And I would say to the government, listen, you don't have to talk to the banks, We could let the banks do whatever they want to do. What you could do is you could ensure that Bahamians are being paid sufficiently to accommodate all these banking fees. We could legislate that. Anyway, I got to go to a break. And when I come back from the break, I got one more big, big, big announcement before I introduce my guest and we dive into this conversation. Producer, take us to the break. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
9 months in my mama's belly. When I was born, the midwife screamed and shout. I had fire and brimstone coming out of my mouth. I'm in coma.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Three-toed frog, eight leaves from the deepest heart of the sea. Bring the trumpet from heaven and the fire from hell.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And this morning, in a moment, I will be bringing in my guest today, Miss Helen Clenaris. But before we get there, I just got one more thing to say. And just, dear Texas, I can touch your text. Listen, guys, this is big, 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 huge news. Goombay Kids has won the best TV series as well as the best producer category at the Cannes World Film Festival. You all hear that? Cannes is like the top film festival in the world. And our very own show, Goombay Kids, has series as well as best producer. And I say congratulations to Leslie Ellis-Tynes, Leah Enius, and the entire cast and crew, including the producer, and to the fully Bahamian production team on this win. And we want to recognize Our TV Originals, LFD Productions Limited, The Movie Group, Rev Cable Bahamas, and again, congrats to my two cousins, Leslie Ellis-Tynes and Leah Enius, and the rest of the cast. This is just fabulous. These guys have won this year. They've taken in just a Georgie bundle of awards, prizes, special recognition for this show. I think including Leah Enius winning, I think, Best Supporting Actress, or Best Supporting Role. Anyway, this is just fabulous, and I had to take a moment to say congratulations to the whole crew of people who made it possible. See what we can do when we believe in ourselves, when we invest in ourselves, and when we sacrifice for each other. Because it ain't no easy work making a world-class, award-winning television show. This is just fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Listen, after listening to that Fidelity commercial producer, I'm going to start me a new company and a TV show. It's going to be called Green the Bounty Hunter. I collect in debts, but I only collect in debts from Grammys and church people. That's it. Because, you know, they know Jesus, but the violence says pray for you. That's you. So you forget where they live. You forget their number. You forget they owe you anything. I'm going to start me a company. Let's get into these texts quickly. Erin Pintar just left from being the government. Bahamians, along with F&M from Long Island, was complaining about banks from 2018. Where was Pintard? Politics. It's certainly a political issue. It's definitely a political issue. It's not partisan, right? Both parties who have held the government are equally complicit in this state of affairs. And like I say, I ain't rowing no bank. I'm not rowing no bank. It's up to us. It's up to government to ensure that people who are working can afford to use the services that are required for working people to navigate the country they live in. Another text says, morning, Inland Revenue, still sponsoring your show. We need to talk to them. Why is it so hard to get through? Person said they've had to hang on for far too much time. Dear Inland Revenue, please check your phone systems. Also, dear Texter, they also have internet. They have online and digital means of access and communications. That may be the best way to start. But I tell you what, you go down to that office of Inland Revenue, the front staff there are extremely helpful. And I say it like that because I've never had to speak to anybody behind the line. The front staff have been able to help me facilitate, have been able to facilitate anything that I needed to get done. Yes, Texter, these people are getting worse on the streets, casually running the traffic lights and cutting people off on the road, and half of the offenders are women. Well, we make up half of the world. That only makes sense. Well, guys, I got to transition into the second part of my show this morning, and my guest today is Miss Helen Clenaris. I and many of us know Helen, the musician and rock star. We know Helen, the writer and poet, and we know Helen, the advocate. But today, We're going to meet and learn about Helen, the healer and teacher. Good morning, Miss Clenaris.
Good morning, Miss Green. How are you?
I am good, good. Thank you. A little chilly, but I am good.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. And you can hear me okay?
Yes, yes.
Coming live to you from my kitchen.
A hidden location in New Providence.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you, Erin, for having me on your show. I love your show. Every time I'm in Nassau, I tune in while I'm driving, and it is truly an honor. Thank you.
So I pulled this quote online doing some research, and it says, transformation is not only possible, it is what we as living beings in an animate cosmos inherently know how to do. The healing and transformational way of the soul is our birthright. I just wanted to read that before I ask you to introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, that's a great place to start, because I will say that although I have been all of these many things that you described, you know, singer in a band and writer and advocate, activist, human rights activist, all of these things that I participated for many years before I left the Bahamas. I've been away for about 12, 13 years now, but always coming back and forth. The thing that is true about all of the things that I have ever put my energy into in this lifetime is that they are all in some way about transformation. They're all in some way about a desire to generate transformation for myself and others, a transformation of consciousness, a transformation of emotions, a transformation of our psyches, a transformation of histories, grief, and pain that we may have experienced collectively, but also individually. That has been at the center of my writing, of my activism, transforming society, transforming, the ways that we interact with each other, the ways that we understand and perceive each other. That has been just a deep goal of mine, perhaps at first unconsciously and then much more consciously as I began to understand what it was I was trying to do. And the last 13 years or so, living in California, in the Bay Area, I left, in my mid-30s, I would say. And the majority of the work that I've been doing over there, in addition to teaching and writing, has been healing work, has been another kind of transformation of the deep self, transformation of personal woundings, and in the process, learning how to be a transformer of other people's wounds. Some call that becoming a healer. And it's something that I also had always wanted to do and be, but did not know the pathway towards it. Leaving Nassau when I did, at the height of a lot of advocacy around women's rights and LGBTQ rights, leaving Nassau, going away, finding healing for myself has brought me home again now to bring tools of healing to this beloved community, which has always been my beloved community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in some way I've seen all of the work that you've done over your lifetime as transformational, particularly performing, right? Singing in a band, rocking out on the weekend.
And sort of
stepping back and watching how valuable these spaces were and still are to people, that after work debrief, discharge, and then living in the Bahamas for people who've grown up sort of with rock music, mm-hmm. and then getting to hear rock music and live music, performed, so mm-hmm. transformational. And it was like church for a lot of people.
Oh my God!
Right, a Friday night, a Saturday night. These yeah. spaces become a therapeutic space for the majority of us. I agree. I see that throughout your work, and not just in the things that we know, like advocacy, that we know are about transforming and changing mm-hmm. things. But tell us, what is healing? What exactly is it? Is it like, you know, drink your bitters so you get better, put a Band-Aid on it so the scab will form? What exactly is healing?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when I think about healing, I'm going to tell you what I think about as the end result before I even talk about the modalities that we can use for healing. For me, healing is really about, and I'm talking about this really from my own very personal experience, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Healing is freedom. Freedom from trauma, freedom from the past, freedom from history, freedom from being controlled by past woundings, past hurts, and the stories that those woundings create in us, right? Mm-hmm. Healing is freedom to be our most authentic selves, to step into our soul purpose, what we have come here to do. Freedom from the lockdown, to use a word that we are all so very familiar with, unfortunately. It is freedom from the lockdown that trauma creates within us. Mm-hmm. And trauma, I'll go into talking about what that means in a moment as well. But that's how I view healing. Healing is, you know, freedom within our psyches, freedom within our bodies, freedom to use our life force as we feel called to, without any obstruction, without any blockage, without any conflict, without any inner split that keeps us from owning our energies fully, right? It's decolonization of the psyche. It's balance within the psyche. It's all of these things, right? And so I really intentionally use the word freedom and all that that might conjure for us.
Mm-hmm. So right? when mm-hmm. you talk about freedom, in mm-hmm. a sense, one of the questions I wanted to ask was, can I heal from a trauma without ever talking to the person who caused the trauma, right? But I want to sort of stick a pin there and mm-hmm. ask, like, how much of the healing work is the work of me who needs to heal and the yeah. work of the healer? And then I want to stick a pin there because
last
night, my boy said to me, I was saying, look here, I've been in pain for a minute. And he said, he live in Andres. He said, but look here, you don't know the timing. You know, he said this, you know, rising tide and ebb and tide, right? He said, well, what you got to do is you got to go in the water when the tide is going out.
Oh,
and
wow.
The water, the salt water, pull the hurts, the yes. bad things out of your body. And so here I am getting ready to ask you, how much of this healing am I just doing all on my own that I'm responsible for? But at the same time, nature can help us heal as well and can not do the work, but do the work with us.
Yes. Oh, Aaron, you've said so much there, and I want to pick up on all of those points. And before I do that, I just want to step back for a minute and talk about what trauma is. Mm-hmm. I think we all have a sense of, you know, perhaps what that might be, but I just want to get us a little bit on the same page here in terms of how I look at it, and then touch on some of the questions that you just asked. Such good questions. Are we responsible? Who can help us to heal all of that? Do we need, to engage the people or persons who have, you know, inflicted mm-hmm. trauma on us? So let me back
Helen,
up then.
Let's take
yes.
a pause. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into that question. What
Fantastic.
Is trauma and how we move out of it?
Fantastic.
You guys stay tuned. You're tuned into Guardian Radio. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We will be right back. Listen to this, Tony McKay.
I saw fire in the sky, and last night I had a vision. I saw men that once had died. There was ceremony, just, you know they said that my time had come. Yes, those ceremony angels, you know they said.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to Guardian.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian 96.9 FM. Joining me this morning is Helen Clenaris, Bahamian writer, poet, author, musician, teacher, and healer. Welcome back, Ms. Clenaris.
Thank you, Ash.
Absolutely. So let's dive right back in. What is trauma?
All right. So trauma, very simple explanation or definition of it is, trauma is not simply what happens to us, it is how we respond on the inside to what happens to us. So I'm going to just give a couple of examples. An accident is traumatic. Witnessing or experiencing violence is traumatic. Being born premature or losing your mother in infancy, in childbirth perhaps, is traumatic. Living through a hurricane like Dorian is traumatic. And why is it traumatic? Because it threatens our lives, right? Mm-hmm. When we experience a force that we perceive as threatening our life, that experience is traumatic. And it creates a response inside of us that then becomes a defense, right? And there are a couple of ways that we respond in defense. We can freeze, our energy freezes, perhaps, or our energy or our spirit, I like to talk about it in terms of spirit, our spirit can split off. It can go into exile. It can hide because it is trying to mitigate against the feelings that were brought up during the trauma, the feelings of terror, the feelings of shame, depending on what the trauma might be, of humiliation, of vulnerability, right, of grief. And so what happens to us is not simply the trauma, it's how we experienced it and how we responded on the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. And I want to say that in the aftermath of any trauma, whether it's a hurricane that we, you know, had to survive through, whether it is some deprivation in childhood, whether it is some collective wounding like slavery, mm-hmm. right? All of these things are traumas. And in the aftermath, whether it's in our individual lifetime or in generations afterwards, we can experience the fragmentation that occurs because a part of us froze, because a part of us split off, our consciousness, our spirit split off, went into exile, mm-hmm. right? Because of that, we are not whole. And we experience ourselves as not whole. We experience ourselves as fragmented. We experience ourselves as disjointed. It can cause us to feel sad, anxious, depressed, enraged, confused, right? We can't live out our best dreams, no matter how much we know what they might even be, right? Imagine then, right, what that, the effect of that on the individual can be so many different things. We can have, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism, depression, you know, bouts of grief or rage. There's so many things that come out of not having all of ourselves present with us as a result of trauma. Mm-hmm. Imagine now an entire community, an entire culture or society that has experienced a collective trauma, whether it's, you know, climate disaster or some form of war or famine or slave, you know, enslavement, all of those things create, you know, an experience of trauma that affects us culturally.
And can I say, just add, yeah. over the last few days, the bringing to the fore, to the public's attention, cases of domestic violence, gender-based mm-hmm. violence, mm-hmm. and we've right. experienced that collectively.
Yes.
And then on top of that, we've experienced the trauma, right? The incohesive processing, the incoherent processing at this sort of collective national stage.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, violence, as we know, it's a cliche to say it, but violence begets violence, and wounded people wound people. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we have these cycles of violence. We have these cycles of, you know, deep, deep woundedness in the collective psyche of a people, of our people. And really, you know, we can legislate, we can do a lot of things to try to, again, to interrupt these cycles. But, you know, in my very short lifetime so far, for me, and this is why, you know, I've come to this healing work now, it feels to me that we need deep healing. We need to go inside as well as outside. We need all of the different ways that we can come to healing, whether it's through the arts, through, you know, legal measures, through economic measures. There's so many different ways that we as human beings can attend to the wounding of our society and of ourselves individually. For me, the power is in healing work.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. But before you go on, I want to ask you, though, can we then sort of heal from these acts of violence or these, mm-hmm. and then also heal collectively from the trauma, right? Can we do that collectively? The responding to the acts of violence and then responding to the trauma as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yes, the answer is absolutely we can heal collectively, and I want to say that in I'm gonna use some terms like shamanic. I'm gonna talk about, and I don't even have to use that word, in the indigenous worldviews, in ancient worldviews prior to the rise, perhaps of monotheism, mm-hmm. What we might call earth-based religions, mm-hmm. earth-based societies, they believed that everything has spirit. Everything is alive. Everything is connected, interconnected. And when we think from that place, from that perspective, we know that the individual is always related to the collective, right? Mm-hmm. We know that our spirits individually affect the spirit of everything, the web of life. And so from that perspective, and this is a perspective that I hold dearly, when we heal as individuals, we are healing the collective. When we heal as individuals, we are healing the past, our ancestors. We are never, never, ever alone, right? And so the work that I have learned to do takes that into consideration, right? Mm-hmm. A, we do not need to engage the person or persons that violated us or that, you know, traumatized us. We can do that healing within ourselves. And to your question earlier, we can engage nature to help us. Because again, if you believe that everything has spirit, everything is alive, then you know that the ocean can help. Oh, that sitting under, a silk cotton tree and, you know, can release your burden. You're not alone. You know that bush medicine is real, you know, and can work not only on your body, but on your spirit. And that's, you know, all of that is part of healing work. And there's also much more. And so, yes, I think we can heal the collective. I think about things like, you know, the process of truth and reconciliation in South Africa, mm-hmm. and you know, how that brought a great measure of healing to that society collectively, right? I think about my own dream to find a way to have a public ceremony to mourn and apologize for the wounds of slavery in this country and in the Caribbean, right? I think that we can work collectively as well as individually all the time. And the collective healing ceremony can bring healing to the individual, right? All of this is possible. All of it is. And depending on what framework we allow ourselves to exist inside of, we know that this is possible or we don't.
You know, while you were speaking, I was thinking about when we were in high school and primary school and summer camp and things like that, and something has gone wrong, an offense has been committed, the teachers don't know, but everybody must be a part of the process, right? Of finding it out and then... And so everybody will get the punishment until the person who is responsible speaks up. And in this way, we experience the trauma collectively.
Yes.
And we're forced to process it collectively and come to balance and resolve collectively.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's what us adults be thinking. But
just imagine, Aaron, if we thought in a different, in a different way. What if we thought, oh, that child did this offense and therefore there must be wounding there? What if instead of collective punishment, we gave that group of children collective healing,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But what if we could bring that child that, you know, did that offense, bring them to the center and ask them, what is their grief? What is the pain behind what they did? Right, we have to really bring healing into all aspects of how we interact with each other, I think.
Absolutely.
In our society. Yeah.
So I got a text here. It says, "Yes, Miss Green, I am a forklift operator and I go to the ocean every day to draw out the back and leg pain from the vibration of the forklift, the constant vibration of the forklift." And so before I ask you about this latest project that you're working on and sort of the history of that project, a quick question. So I know we can have physical responses to emotional and psychological trauma. Like you mentioned early in the conversation, you know, a near accident.
Yes.
You feel that in your body. The question I want to ask is, can we pass trauma on to our children through our DNA?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can. We can pass it on through our DNA. We can pass it on through memory. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, we pass it on through behavior.
I think, you know, we talk about being a part of the whole. And even in our trauma and our hurt, we have a responsibility to the whole, to the community, to heal so as not to perpetuate or pass on the trauma, and particularly about to our children, right?
Right. That's right. I think it's James Baldwin who told us that, you know, history is not in the past. It lives with us in every moment, right? And if we don't know that, right, we perpetuate.
Absolutely.
We perpetuate.
So you have been doing this work here with partners and community members, stakeholders, since the passing of Hurricane Dorian. So I want you to tell us a little briefly, because we sort of at the end of the show, about We Got You.
Yeah.
Healing Hands. We're all made of, we are all made of stars, and how that has led you to the Soul Healing Way and what's taking place with the Soul Healing Way in the upcoming days.
Okay, beautiful. Tell me how much time I have so I know how to talk about it.
My producer said you have 4.5 minutes.
Oh, my soul. Okay, we're going to do this in shamanic time, spirit time.
Yes.
All right. Hurricane Dorian catalyzed a need for more than physical healing. We needed to come with spirit healing. We needed to come with nature healing. We needed to come with our hands. When I talk about spirit, when I say that the ocean has spirit and the trees have spirit and they can help us to heal, I'm also saying that humans have spirit, and we know this from long time. This is ancient knowledge, that human hands have spirit. And when we connect to the ocean, to the spirit of trees, to the spirit of medicinal plants, when we ask them to work with us to heal the spirit of a human being who has gone through a war or a hurricane like Dorian, we can bring our spirits together in the cause of healing the individual and the collective. Mm-hmm. I brought a team of healers, energy medicine healers, spirit workers, to come to Nassau after Dorian to bring healing to shelters, to individuals who were in the shelters, to people who came to the NAGB and sat together and shared their stories. And out of that experience came a deep calling in me to bring this healing home in a more substantive way, in a coherent way, in the form of this program, the Soul Healing Way. The Soul Healing Way is a 3-year program that invites people who know that they want healing and they want to commit to taking responsibility for their own healing to come and be part of a healing community where we go back to our childhoods, where we go back to the womb and we free ourselves of the woundings we experienced during childhood so that we can be strong enough to free ourselves of the woundings we experience as human beings, whether it's slavery, whether it is rape, whether it is violations of other kinds, all the violations that we have ever experienced. We need to be strong in order to face them. And in order to face them and become strong, we have to repair what we experienced as children, because that allows us to grow a strong, regenerate a strong enough ego that will allow us to face the bigger traumas of our past. That's what this Soul Healing Way is about. That is what I am bringing home, because this is my beloved community. And this is where this is where I want to bring. So whether we start off with a group of 3 or 5 or 7, or 14, every year I'm going to be building on this program. Every year I'm going to be offering it. And I just encourage those who feel called to come.
Listen, please tell the people how they can connect with you and how they can, or how they can register, or how they can find the soul healing.
The simplest way to contact me is to WhatsApp me at 510-200-2826.
All right.
That's my WhatsApp number. Sorry, it's California, Oakland, California, but I will get a, I'll get a behavior number very soon. I'm going to be spending a lot more time at home. And so again, that number is 510-200-2826. You can also look up the soulhealingway.com.
Absolutely, the soulhealingway.com. Now, Helen, as you could see, I selected some Exuma music, Tony McCabe music to play with the show, but I got a little surprise for you. I play in your song. I didn't tell you I was going to play it, but I play in your song because it's Culture Ties Day. It's Culture Ties Day, and you're a creative and a creator too. But before we close out the show, I want to just say, sort of in honor of the conversation that we were having, I want to mention, you know, briefly again, we want to share condolences with the friends and family of Josiah Kinloch, the one and only Josiah that played with the Wailers. He had a music empire in Cuba and in Germany, and he was just a brilliant Bohemian changing lives. And to the three young men that lost their lives in Long Island.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for having me on the show as well, hey?
Absolutely.
Day after day I work to make it real. Some days I stop trying and disappear. I'm invisible, I'm a ghost walking down these city streets. If I don't say what I know, will you ever be able to see me? Little girl, bluer than blue. She know what her daddy done to her. She tried to forget and she tried to remember. If she don't say what you know, will you ever be able to see her? Speak now, don't you keep the peace, invisibility never can make.